From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, Believers and the Problem of Sin, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Limitless Riches. The text is Philippians 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul's God is our God and will supply all our need. Paul felt sure of this in reference to the Philippians, and we feel sure of it as to ourselves. God will do it, for it is like Him. He loves us. He delights to bless us. And it will glorify Him to do so. His pity, His power, His love, His faithfulness all work together that we be not famished. What a measure does the Lord go by, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The riches of His grace are large. But what shall we say of the riches of His glory? His riches of glory by Christ Jesus. Who shall form an estimate of this? According to this immeasurable measure, will God fill up the immense abyss of our necessities. He makes the Lord Jesus the receptacle and the channel of His fullness, and then He imparts to us His wealth of love in its highest form. Hallelujah! The writer knows what it is to be tried in the work of the Lord. Fidelity has been recompensed with anger, and liberal givers have stopped their subscriptions. But he whom they sought to oppress has not been one penny the poorer. Nay, rather, he has been the richer. For this promise has been true. My God shall supply all our need. God's supplies are surer than any bank.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. In His hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, as I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
In the present message, Dr. Cairns is focusing on the petition from the Lord's Prayer, "And forgive us our debts." As he's pointed out, most of the requests we're to make for ourselves involve the subject of sin and its consequences. Though for the believer the penalty of sin has been paid by the Savior on the cross, the presence of sin is still something every Christian has to deal with every day. Obviously, the Lord Jesus intends for his people to take this matter seriously, for unconfessed sin is the greatest roadblock to the believer's prayer life. It is true that sin is no longer the reigning principle in the life of a born-again Christian, yet the sin nature remains with the believer throughout his earthly existence. As the writer of Hebrews recorded, "Sin easily besets us." So sin is a real problem. Not only so, it is also a universal problem affecting Christians of all levels of spiritual maturity. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, Believers and the Problem of Sin.
We've got to be grateful to God and say, there was a time when sin reigned in us, but Christ has dethroned it, and now grace reigns in righteousness through Jesus Christ. Remember how Paul put it to the Corinthians? Having listed a great host of wicked sinners, he said, and such were some of you, but. What a but that is. We can look back and say, that's where we were. Some of you have to say, I was never drunk in my life, but I was still a sinner. Thy filthy, unclean, wretched, hell-deserving. Some of you look back with shame and say, I was many of those things that Paul enumerates. But, he says, you are washed. But, you are sanctified. But, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Notice the three buts. And each one carries us ever more deeply into the mystery of redemption. It carries us ever more deeply into the mighty workings of the grace of God. You are washed. You are sanctified, set apart unto God. And you are justified, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Writing to Titus in chapter 2, verse 11 and onwards, the same apostle says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Listen, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a people for his personal possession, zealous of good works. That's what the Lord has done. The problem of sin for a Christian is not what it used to be. But we have to say this, though sin is no longer reigning, it is still remaining. And it's not something that we should lightly or carelessly dismiss. According to Romans 7, it's something that's always with us. Paul says in chapter 7, verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Is what I like about the scriptures. They're very, very true to life. When men paint the pictures of saints, they paint cardboard or plastic characters who really don't feel like flesh and blood. They paint unbelievable characters who are so different from the rest of us that there's no point of contact or identification. But here is the greatest preacher on earth in the apostolic age, the greatest missionary, the one who could say, I labored more abundantly than they all. The man who had experiences that even Peter didn't have. The man who was caught up into the third heaven saw things that it was unlawful even to speak about. A man whose fellowship with God was the greatest that any human being has ever had since the days of the Savior himself. And yet he says, I find a law in me, that is a principle in me, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Now here's the mark of the Christian. Here is the dethronement of the old monarch of sin and its replacement with Christ. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Only a Christian can say that. Hypocrites attend to the law after its letter in the outward man. Religious people do the same. They can attend to the externals. Only a regenerated, redeemed man can say, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, and that in my heart my chief joy is to be like Christ. My chief joy is to obey the Savior. I delight in God's law in my inward man. But I see another law in my members. There's something, says he, that seems to be part of this very flesh of mine, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. How realistic. This is something that's always with us. Have you never felt this? You want to pray, but there's something, it seems to inhere in your very body. You could go all day and all night without sleeping until you get on your knees and suddenly your body wants to go to sleep. You ever find that? I have never yet discovered the Christian who hadn't found that. You want to do what's right, and suddenly there is a mighty attack to make it easy to do what's wrong. Sin is ever with us. And according to Hebrews 12, verse 1, it easily besets us. The picture there is of somebody running, and the long garments would entwine themselves around his ankles and trip him up. That's what sin does. It so easily besets us. It so easily trips us up. And if you carry the figure of speech a little further, I think you could say that the harder you run, the more apt those garments are to twist themselves around your feet and trip you up. That's why the scripture says, gird up the loins of your minds. You see, when they wore these long flowing garments in the east, they tried to remember. And if they didn't, they usually paid for it with a sore face when they hit the ground. They tried to remember to hitch up the skirts of their garments to free up their feet to let them run. And Paul says, this is something we have got to attend to. We must gird up the loins of our minds. We must be very careful here because sin easily besets us. So the problem is not what it used to be, but it's still real. Then I thought a second thing, and that is the closer we get to God, the clearer the vision we obtain of Him and His glory, the more acute will be our sense of sin. Remember, this is part of a prayer. The prayer starts, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The first part of the prayer is completely taken up with the greatness, the majesty, the glory of God. And I tell you this, when a person begins to be impressed with the glory of God, he will feel acutely his own sin. Only carnal people can make light of sin. And I would say this is something for you to judge yourself by this morning. If you can sit in this church or at any other time and think lightly of your sin, you're simply telling yourself that you either never have had or have currently lost any vision of God or closeness to Him. It's only when Christians are backslidden that they can live comfortably without this sense of sin. For people who really pray, people who honestly, genuinely pray, will of necessity have a constant and acute sense of sin. The Bible gives you example after example. How often we have read Isaiah chapter 6, when the prophet, a holy man, a man being commissioned to a lifetime of service to God, the man who became the evangelical prophet, the man who lived in such closeness to God that his prophecy 700 years before Christ in many places could be lifted right out and put in the New Testament and it wouldn't seem out of place. This man, when he saw the glory of God, he cried, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Why? What made him feel that? "Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You remember Peter? Of all the 12 apostles, I suppose the one that we easily or most easily identify with, Peter, when he saw the Lord, fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, O Lord. I am a sinful man." It's not that he wanted the Lord to leave him. It's a manner of speaking that makes him express just how unworthy he is. Peter, when he saw the Lord, "I'm a sinful man." You think of John when he saw the Lord. What happened? He fell at his feet as one dead. And this is the apostle who tells all Christians in 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make God a liar. I've already quoted Paul from Romans 7. A little earlier in that chapter, verse 18, Paul says, "I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do." And at the end of it all, he cried, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" You see, the closer you get to God, the more acute will be your sense of sin. I've often said that when I was studying for the ministry, I had the privilege of being taught by one of the holiest men who ever walked the soil of Ireland, and that was J. Kyle Paisley. When you met Ian Paisley's father, you met a man who lived in the holy place. A man who exuded the very presence of God. I've often confessed, and it's unfortunately true, that when I got to be in his class, his teaching days were coming to an end. He was long past his best as a preacher and as a teacher. And yet, I don't think that I lost anything by that. Because the one thing that didn't disappear, the one thing that you never lost when you sat down with that man was the sense of a holiness that you long to have in your own life. And yet, when J. Kyle Paisley prayed, he prayed as a man, deeply, deeply afflicted with the sense of his own sin and his own unworthiness. When he even used the one word, even as he spoke the word, the name of God, the awe that came over his own soul and the souls of those who prayed with him was something you would never forget. The closer you get to God, the more acute will be your sense of sin.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.